is the Radio Hall of Fame. The Radio Hall of Fame is presented during the full hour ahead by Philco Corporation, makers today of radar and electronic battle equipment for the fighting forces of the United Nations. Makers tomorrow of equipment for good living in a free world united by victory. Each week, the editors and correspondents of Variety report and select for the Philco program the hits of the show world from all the fields of entertainment. This week, the editors of Variety recommend for your pleasure, and Philco delights to honor in your name, from radio and motion pictures, Bob Hope. From stage and screen, Cornelia Otis Skinner. From radio, motion pictures and the reviews, Jane Froman. From the musical comedy stage, Jackie Gleason. From radio and the recording studios, the Art Tatum Trio. And now may I present our master of ceremonies, the distinguished composer, author, and commentator, Deems Taylor.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is I Am an American Day. And being an American generally means being an incurable optimist. And to open today's program, here's a song arranged by Theodore Weingand and played by Paul Whiteman's Radio Hall of Fame Orchestra and sung by the Radio Hall of Fame Chorus that expresses that characteristic of ours, Look for the Silver Lining.
Philco is well qualified to fulfill its assignment in the mass production of radar and electronic equipment. For 12 years before Pearl Harbor, Philco was the undisputed leader in its field. In this time, it had produced more than 17 million radios and gained a reputation for quality and advanced engineering known all over the world. The technical skill of Philco men and women, their long years of mass production experience, their great facilities for research and development were of vital importance to our armed forces when they faced the need for huge quantities of radar and electronic equipment in record time. Today, through war research and production, Philco laboratories are speeding the progress of electronic science. Philco engineers are acquiring new techniques of quality manufacture in mass production. After victory, these will be just as important to you in the manufacture of sensational new Philco radios, phonographs, and television receivers for American homes.
I don't have to tell you who Jane Froman is. You must have heard her voice many times during her extraordinary career as a star of vaudeville, nightclubs, musical comedy, pictures, and radio. Nor do I have to remind you that she's one of that legion that Variety calls soldiers in grease paint. That she was among the first to interrupt her professional career in order to volunteer to fly abroad to entertain our boys on the other side. A flight that ended in that tragic plane crash in Portugal something over a year ago. No, Jane's appearance on the Radio Hall of Fame today isn't an introduction. It's a reunion, a welcome back to the people who love her. Among her other achievements, Jane has established herself as an extremely successful recording artist. Her album of George Gershwin songs, for instance, has been a bestseller ever since it was released. And it's a number from that album that she's going to sing now. The song, "Tain't Necessarily So," from Gershwin's Porgy and Bess. Jane Froman.
No, no, no. snap for a seven if please don't have no fall. Oh, I take that table whenever I'm able, but with a grain of salt. Methuselah is 900 years. But who calls that little when no one will give it to no guy what's 900 years? I'm beaten this time and too strong. It ain't that far, ain't that far, ain't that far, ain't that far.
Not long ago, I had a letter from a friend of mine, a young lieutenant somewhere in Italy. And the letter ended, "For heaven's sake, be careful about letting the soldiers vote. I don't want to come home and find Bob Hope president." Well, that's what the soldiers think of Bob Hope. What the rest of us think of him was very well expressed last week, when on Bob's own program, Variety awarded him a special showmanship plaque as the number one soldier in grease paint. To give you an instance of his untiring wartime activities, today he's on a special mission to San Francisco, where he and Bing Crosby are the star attractions of an I Am an American celebration. You'll remember that Bob was the star comedian on our very first Radio Hall of Fame program. And so today is a fitting time for Philco to welcome him back to the Hall of Fame. We take you now to San Francisco and Bob Hope.
I wanted applause, but this is ridiculous. How do you do? How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob Hall of Fame Hope telling all of you people to buy Philco's, and on Tuesday night you'll always be jolly. Your tubes won't blow out right after Fibber, McGee, and Molly. You know, it's funny working for the Philco people. Instead of my usual sponsor, of course, the salary is different. I get paid off in a different kind of tube. But today I'm broadcasting from San Francisco. I've been visiting San Francisco for years now. I even remember when it belonged to the civilians. Everybody's in the Army or Navy here. I saw a picture of Whistler's mother in my hotel, and she's a corporal in the WACS now. All the hotels are filled with servicemen. I got a room with a Louis XIV bed. But I didn't get much sleep. In the middle of the night, somebody yelled, "Eight's my point," and Lewis got up and faded him. I'm staying in a lovely district here. You've heard of Knob Hill. Well, I'm living in Cesspool Valley. San Francisco is a beautiful city, and this rivalry between San Francisco and Los Angeles is just a lot of talk. But you should hear the things they say when they talk. But they have wonderful weather here in San Francisco. The sun shines every day, and some days you can even see it shining. And I really like the girls up here. They aren't like Hollywood girls. In Hollywood, you just have to whistle. Up here, you have to blow a foghorn. Talk about fog. This is the only place in the world where you can wink at a girl and get a free eyewash at the same time. And they really have hilly streets here in San Francisco. The hills here are so steep, I followed the blonde down one hill yesterday and passed her three times. This is a great town to reduce. Climbing the hills takes the bulge off your hips. Then Bay Meadows finishes the job. Bay Meadows, that's French for lend me $5 and I'll scrape through till payday. When I arrived,
arrived, when I arrived in town, I went down to the fisherman's wharf down near the docks. I always like to go down there to the water's edge to eat that fresh fish and wave to my brother. Sneaks up on you, doesn't it, huh? My brother lives near here. He has a nice room with an adjoining warden. But my brother got caught because he didn't know the history of his country very well. It was the first time anyone had ever seen a dollar bill with Mickey Mouse's picture on it. I came up to San Francisco by train. There are a lot of people traveling these days. The dining car was so crowded, I had to order 3 cups of coffee before I could get one in the right mouth. It was a nice trip, though. I made 2 very close friends, the guy I was sitting on and the guy who was sitting on me. It's really hard to get a seat on the train these days. One fella ran after the train for 3 miles, begging them to let him on before they discovered he was a conductor. And the train was awfully rough. In fact, every time we went around a curve, it threw me up against the person in the next seat. I kept telling her. In the morning, there were 300 servicemen in the washroom, so I had to get up. All night, I slept with my foot dangling out, and this morning, I woke up with 3 toothbrushes hanging between my toes. But I'm glad I'm here because this is a very cultural town. San Francisco is a great opera town, you know. You know opera, that's Mersey Dotes for the plot. I was up here for the last opera season. They had a very nice program. I know I sold quite a few of them. I go to the opera every year whether I need to sleep or not. The last time I attended the opera here, I went formal. I wore a top hat and white tie. But I felt a little chilly. My bathrobe kept blowing open. But it takes him so long to say anything in opera. If a guy wants to kiss a girl, first he has to sing his way through 16 bars. I've always found it easier to stay in one bar and work it out there. And everything in the opera is very refined and high class. They don't call the bad actors hams. They refer to them as pork filet mignon. I only had 1 set of teeth out. I got a big laugh for that joke. But I want to tell you, I came up here today really to participate in the I Am an American ceremonies. Bing Crosby came up with me. You know Crosby, the pumped up Sinatra. You know that. I'm just kidding. He's one of my favorite among the older singers. I want to tell you seriously that I Am an American Day really means something special to you folks here, doesn't it? As you're the people who've watched the liners go out through the Golden Gate, and you've seen them come back, and you've counted the canes and the crutches, and here and there a patch over a man's eye, and the stretchers, and some men walking down the gangplank, yelling and laughing, and other men crying. You're the kind of people who make those kids say, "I'm glad I'm an American." And you're the kind of people who hold the answer to when we'll stage the biggest of all, I Am an American Day. That day when those kids come back through the Golden Gate to stay. Let's hope it's soon. Thanks a lot. Goodbye.
Call it jive, jazz, swing, or boogie-woogie, there are men playing it who are generally admitted to be masters in their own line. And among them is Art Tatum. Not only is he individually famous in concert, in the nightclubs, and on the air, but his trio, consisting of himself at the piano, with Tiny Grimes and Slam Stewart playing the guitar and string bass, respectively, is one of the most popular acts in the entertainment field. And it's that trio that Philcombe welcomes to the Radio Hall of Fame today. Not that they're playing Chopin, although he's good, too. But at the moment, we're to hear first Art Tatum at the piano playing his version of Dvorak's Humoresque, and then the trio playing I Know That You Know. Thank you. Winthrop Ames produced Clement Dane's play, Will Shakespeare. One scene concerned the first performance of Romeo and Juliet, with Juliet's voice heard off stage. The voice was actually that of Otis Skinner's daughter, and the event marked the first professional appearance, if you can call it that, of Cornelia Otis Skinner. Since that time, Miss Skinner's career as an actress has been a steadily successful one. If you're a moviegoer, you'll recall her superb performance in the current picture, The Uninvited. If you're a New York theater goer, you can see her as the heroine of Lillian Hellman's latest play, The Searching Wind. But acting in other people's plays isn't Miss Skinner's only accomplishment. She's equally famous as a diseuse, and countless audiences here and in England have seen her in the playlets and sketches that she writes for herself and in which she is the sole performer. And seeing no reason why the radio audience shouldn't at least hear one of these, Philco hereby nominates and elects Cornelia Otis Skinner to the Radio Hall of Fame, playing in her own tabloid panorama, Times Square.
Thank you, Dean. I'm going to do a monologue called Times Square. It represents a section of Broadway at the theater hour.
Chewing gum, chewing gum, buy some chewing gum. Pepino, dove scappi? Vieni qua, brutto machoso. Ah, lady, please, you like some gum. Lady, I got 5 children. Look, he's a bambino, he's a 6. He's a little boy, he's a not strong. Chewing gum, chewing gum. So I says, listen, bozo.
Any guy that takes me to the automat when I'm all dressed up for a ritzy nightclub don't go so big with me. He turned out a dud, all right. I didn't think he was so hot when I seen him in the front row. No, it was Hazel said go ahead and step out with him that he was a big butter and egg man. He's a big piece of cheese is what he is. Oh, say, listen, May, we're late as blazes, and if we miss that ensemble scene, we'll get fired sure as... Oh, Reggie, don't be absurd. It's only a block and a half. Because, Reggie, as I told you before, if you'd only listen, they won't let him turn left. He'd have to drive clear to 9th Avenue, and we'd lose half an hour getting there. You wish we wouldn't get there at all. Oh, that's so typical of you. The minute we have to go to anything that's at all worthwhile, you act like a perfect ogre. Here's a play that all intelligent New York is talking about, and you'd rather go to bed or the Follies. You don't know what the play is? Of course, you never read anything but the stock market. Why, I'm trying to think, Reggie. The names escape me for the moment. Oh, you got me so upset bringing that awful man for cocktails when I wanted a dress. Well, if he's such an important customer, why didn't you take him to the Wacket Club? Oh, if you knew how bored I get, how starved I am for a little intelligent conversation. Oh, Jack. Oh, I thought that was you. I haven't seen you in ages. They kept me late at the office. I was just taking the subway home. You're going up? Oh, I thought if you were going up, we could ride together. I see. Well, Mom's keeping supper for me, and if you hadn't had yours, she'd love to give you some, I know. Well, I didn't know if you'd had your supper. Say, Jack, what happened to you Wednesday? Yeah, Wednesday. Did you forget? Well, that's all right. Oh, no, that's perfectly all right. Oh, I was just afraid you might have been sore about something. I waited till 9, then when you didn't call up the next day, I just wondered. Well, I'm glad you weren't sore. Oh, sure, I'll forgive you, Jack. I'll always forgive you. Well, I guess Mom will be wondering. Sure, you won't come up to supper? You've got a date. Jack, who with? Oh, yes. I've met her. She's terribly pretty. I don't blame you for wanting to take her out. Well, I guess I'll be getting along now. Goodbye, Jack.
Oh, my goodness, I sure am thrilled. I was beginning to think I never would get to Broadway. I wish you'd look. Isn't it cute? I'm thrilled, but I'm scared today. Well, coming from the South and all, I don't know if your New York men are going to like me. You've sure got a line, haven't you? No, I haven't got any line. I just say whatever I think. But I don't know about you. I was brought up never to trust a Yankee. Oh, so lucky I've got you to look out for me. I'd have walked right out in front of one of those cars then. No, I don't reckon the traffic would have stopped. Oh, I just think these electric signs make the softest, nicest light on everything. It's right becoming to you. I thought you said you didn't have any lines. Why, you talk like one of the boys from home. This isn't my best life. My best life's good old southern moonlight. You know, you sure are the nicest, kindest man to take me out and show me Broadway. Listen, you. I'm so scared about that dance tomorrow night because I don't know anybody. Are you going to be real sweet and dance with me?
Oh, sorry. Am I going too fast? No, dear, we've plenty of time. We may miss the overture, that's all, but we shan't miss the duet. Look out, darling. Wait for the light. Extravagant, of course we are. We should be our last evening together for some time. We're not going to think about that. Just going to think about how well and strong you'll get in that lovely Arizona climate. Oh, nonsense, darling. The time will go by so quickly. You'll rest and read and do some writing. I'll be all right. I've got my job, thank God, in city. There goes the light. Not too tired? Darling, darling, darling. What fun to hear Bohème together. It's mine, too. The first evening you get back, we'll go to the opera again. Of course you're going to get back. What ever could make you think you weren't? That doctor's an old alarmist.
Don't let's talk about it. I'd rather talk about us. You know I do, my darling, more than anything in this world. More than Sissy, even. Oh, yes, I do. So much.
Oh, you sailors are just terrible. I don't believe a word you say. No, I don't listen. I bet you got a girl in every port between here and Shanghai. Well, that's only because you haven't been in every port. Say, listen, you can't put your arm around me. Not here on Broadway. Wait till we get to Central Park. All right, if you want to hire a boat. I love the way you gobs the minute you get ashore, scram up to Central Park to hire a boat. Don't you get enough water at sea? Aren't you going to tell me about some of the girls you met on your last cruise? Oh, I bet they were attractive. But they were a lot more attractive than me. Those girls in Havana, regular hot tamales. Oh, look, here's a place you can have your picture taken and developed in 5 minutes. Listen, I just love a picture of you. Listen, I take a terrible picture.
Chewing gum, buy some chewing gum.
Peppino, ma perché resti indietro?
Oh, lady, please, you buy some gum. Pony negra. Thank you, lady. Chewing gum, buy some chewing gum.
You know, it's extraordinary how much a real poet can express in a few simple lines. Take, for example, this stanza from Skipper Irison's Ride by John Greenleaf Whittier. It runs, "Sweetly along the Salem road, bloom of orchard and lilac showed. Little the wicked skipper knew of the fields so green and the sky so blue. Riding there in his sorry trim like an Indian idol, glum and grim, scarcely he seemed the sound to hear of the voices shouting far and near.
This is the Blue Network."
In Bing Crosby's new picture, Going My Way, he and Barry Fitzgerald give performances that are really worth going miles to see and hear. And so today, as a salute to the Groaner, as his friends call him, here are Paul Whiteman's Radio Hall of Fame Orchestra and Chorus to bring us an arrangement of one of the songs from the picture, Swinging on a Star.
Be a fish. swing on a star, carry moonbeams home in a jar, and be better off than you are.
Or would you rather be a pig? A pig is an animal with dirt on his face. His shoes are a terrible disgrace. He's got no manners when he eats his food. He's fat and lazy and extremely rude. But if you don't care a feather or a fig, you may grow up to be a
Philco entered the field of home refrigeration, it announced its intention to bring something new to the industry. And before the war, the Philco refrigerator gave ample evidence of that aggressive leadership in engineering and advanced design which has made Philco the quality name in millions of American homes. For Philco brought a new kind of refrigerator to the American market, quite unlike any refrigerator you had ever seen before. Courageously, it pioneered in features that recognized modern trends in food keeping. Frozen foods, for instance. By an entirely new design, it brought you a full-size separate compartment for frozen storage, where foods of all kinds could be kept at below freezing temperatures for weeks. Philco refrigerator owners today are enjoying exclusive advantages which are theirs alone through the independent thinking of Philco engineers. The refrigerator can be an article of tremendously greater usefulness and convenience in your home. Under the influence of Philco advanced design, it will be. Watch Philco in refrigeration after the war.
Back to the Radio Hall of Fame microphone comes one of our soldiers in grease paint. This time, Jane Froman is in a sentimental mood as she sings the ballad, "I'll Be Seeing You."
And our hearts sang on. Was it the spell of care, or the April dawn? trees are wishing well. I'll be singing in every lovely summer day, in everything that's light and gay. I'll always think of you that way. I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the day is new, I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be
entitled Follow the Girls, which opened only about 5 weeks ago. Contributing substantially to its success is a substantial character named Goofy, whom the audience has enthusiastically clasped to its collective bosom. Goofy, or if you prefer his offstage name, Jackie Gleason, has managed to pack a great deal of accomplishment into a comparatively brief career that began in burlesque and the nightclubs and progressed to Hollywood, where he has made as many as 12 pictures in 1 year. All of which is why Variety recommends and Philco agrees that one welcome guest to this week's Radio Hall of Fame should be Jackie Gleason. When we first announced that we were going to have Jackie Gleason on the Radio Hall of Fame, we received many letters asking who and what is Jackie Gleason. So I think it would be a very good idea if you told the people a little about yourself, Jackie.
Why, certainly. I'll start from the beginning. Music. I was born in 1915, right next door to room 1916. I had the usual number of parents, one of each sex. As my father awaited my arrival, he nervously paced up and down the hospital corridor saying, "Gee, I hope it's a boy or a girl." And then I was born. However, the doctor persuaded my parents to keep me anyway. And as my proud father saw me for the first time, he said, And so I was born. I was a sickly infant and had to suck my thumb through a tube. The years passed, and with each passing year, I grew older and older. Then the day came when I was 4 years old. I had long black curls, and from the back, I looked just like a little girl. And for 3 months after that, I kept following myself. It was then that I started to think about life. Ah, life is wonderful. Without it, you're dead. I continued to grow, and finally the day arrived when I was attending school.
All right, children, take your seats and we'll continue with the arithmetic lesson. Jackie Gleason?
Yes, Miss Falsetto.
If you had a dollar and I took half, what would I have?
A fractured skull.
Oh, I can't understand you, Jackie. What's the matter? Don't you like me?
Don't I like you? Are you kidding? Didn't I carve my initials in your forehead yesterday?
Oh, you're incorrigible. Now to continue with the history lesson. Jackie Gleason?
Oh, don't bother me. I'm making a spitball.
Oh, I meant to speak to you about that.
Yeah?
Your aim has been very bad lately.
Is that so? Well, pick up your eye and let's get on with the lesson.
All right. The first question pays a buck. I sailed from Spain in 1492. My first name is Christopher. Now, who am I?
Christopher Falsetto.
Oh, no. The question now pays 40 cents. I sailed from Spain in 1492. My first name is Christopher. A city in Ohio is named after me. And my last name begins with a C. Now, who am I?
Oh, Christopher Cincinnati. And so the years rolled on. I continued to grow. Then at the age of 12, my eyes were turned to a new horizon. Broadway.
Hey, Jackie, you been to town yet? Hey, have you seen the new burlesque show that just opened?
I'd like to see it, but my father told me there were things at the burlesque I shouldn't see.
Yeah, hey, that's what I heard.
But last night I sneaked out of the house and I went.
Gosh, did you see anything you shouldn't see?
Yeah, my old man. And so the seasons passed, spring turning to winter. And winter to spring again. Ah, that Whiteman's a genius. The years rolled on and I blossomed into a broad-beamed husky. What does broad-beamed mean? I developed into a broad-beamed husky young man. The day finally did arrive when I too fell in love. I was at a dance.
Oh, baby, do it. Shake your feet. Do that step. Oh, it's murder.
Hiya, baby.
What are you doing?
I'm throwing kisses at you.
You're doing what?
I'm throwing kisses at you.
Ooh, you lazy thing.
Come on, let's dance, repulsive.
Well, if you ask me, I think you're fresh.
If I ask you, I'm desperate.
Oh, what's the matter, Jackie? Don't you love me anymore?
Sure I do. I always loved you. I always wanted a woman like you. A woman that'd take my head in her hands and tilt it back and make my eyes light up.
You don't want a woman. You want a pinball machine.
Come here, baby. Hold me tight. Tighter. Tighter. Tighter.
Ah, you mean you love me so much?
No, my suspenders just broke. And so the carefree days of my youth... I thought we were finished there for a minute. And so the carefree days of my youth soon passed me by. Life became very grim and real. I had to get my first job. But I wanted a career. First, it was radio.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the children, your Uncle Jackie.
Hello, little kitties. And now, little Bobby Schmier of 1965 South Pittsburgh Street, Long Island. It says here that you're 8 years old today. You're supposed to get a little present, aren't you, Bobby?
Well, you're not gonna get it!
So I was through with radio.
But there were other fields of endeavor. Nightclubs. Television. Theaters. Peanuts, popcorn, Cracker Jacks. Let's forget about that job. And then the day came when I was given another opportunity on the radio. I was called for the Philco Hall of Fame. And I want to thank you, Philco, for this opportunity. Well, I guess I'll call up the kids backstage and follow the girls and see how they like me tonight. Hello, Maisie. Yeah, this is Jackie. How was I on the show tonight? I did? To high heaven. Oh.
Give me the making of the songs of a nation, and I care not who makes its laws. Those words of Andrew Fletcher's might well be the epitaph of George M. Cohan, for some of his songs have become virtually a part of the American tradition. This is a day on which we say, I am an American. And there could be no more fitting close for this program than one of Cohan's songs that says exactly that, although in slightly different language. Paul Whiteman's Radio Hall of Fame Orchestra and Chorus combined to bring us George M. Cohan's I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Buying war bonds is a patriotic duty for every American. But there are equally vital personal reasons why every American should buy war bonds regularly, not on impulse, but according to plan. War bonds are the best and safest way for you to invest your money. You get $4 back at maturity for every $3 you lend today. They give you a nest egg against your needs of tomorrow, a new radio or refrigerator, perhaps the down payment on a new home. For the sake of yourself and your future, make your bond buying automatic. Join a payroll saving plan or start a weekly bond buying plan of your own. It will give you a sense of security for the future. Next week, another brilliant gathering of stars. with Kate Smith, Al Jolson, Eddie Cantor, Benny Goodman, as well as Paul Whiteman and the Radio Hall of Fame Orchestra and Chorus, and others. This is Glenn Riggs saying goodbye for Philco dealers and distributors throughout the United States and Canada, and from Philco Corporation, makers today of radio and electronic materials to help win the war, makers tomorrow of materials for good living in a world at peace. Bob Hope appeared through the courtesy of Pepsodent. The production staff of the Radio Hall of Fame includes D. Engelbach, producer-director, and Abel Green, editor of Variety.
This is the Blues Network.